Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Family, you're listening to Radio Pulpit. Your daily companion is the intimate moment with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 12 uur. Tot 12 uur. Maar ek is nie alleen nie vandag. En ons praat oor Life After Dads. And I'm talking to Pastor Lakile Bebe. And Pastor Lakile Bebe is an accomplished author of this very book that I'm talking about, Life After Dead. And he's not only the founder and senior pastor of Telios Life Church with multiple branches in South Africa, but also a renowned media personality, television, talk show host, and podcaster. He holds qualifications in finance, accounting, and business studies, and environmental sciences. He has also founded and led a successful environmental consultancy for over a decade. He is a sought-after speaker, financial planner, and personal finance commentator. He's married to Fortune Libebe. Muruti, how are you?
I'm blessed, Zwangile. It's really a pleasure to be here.
And I think I should say to Mamuruti Fortune, thank you for allowing Muruti to come minister unto us.
Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment as well.
You know, the last time we spoke to you, it was during COVID times. And so I'm so excited to be talking to you about something totally different now.
Exactly.
Outside of COVID.
You know, on a lighter note today.
And also, it's lighter but serious at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah, how many of us are indebted?
Wow.
And heavily indebted.
It's enormous. And I think COVID has made it even far worse. Mm. The stats showed over 2 million people who have lost their jobs consequently following the COVID pandemic and the lockdown. And, you know, the stats of deaths keeps escalating ever since that time. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's really a heavy matter.
It's alarming.
It is, in fact, yes.
I wonder if we will also be able to pay up. Because I don't think there's anyone, except for our children, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, but funny enough, now there are young children who are indebted. When they finish their tertiary institution, they have to pay up. So before they enjoy their money, working.
You know, I'm glad you actually said that, because in the United States of America, of their biggest debts, student loans or student debts are actually the highest. Hmm. Whereas here, our highest form of debts would be personal loans, mortgages, and vehicle finance. Mm. So those are the ones. But yeah, now that you mentioned student loans, that's a big thing in the U.S.
Mm. Now, Muruti, you wrote this book, Life After Debt, A Guide to Wealth Creation and a Debt-Free Life. Why? How did this book come about?
I think you have already answered it yourself in your comments by saying a lot of people are in debt. I usually say there are three main problems in life. Mm. If someone calls you and say, I want to see you have a problem, even before they break it down, you know, it's either they have problems with their finances, one. Mm. Two, it could be relationships, and that could be romantic relationships, workplace relationships. And the third one will be health. Mm. So people in life deal with one of these three problems. But of the three, finances come number one. Yeah, finances are a very biggest problem.
And they affect families.
They affect families. In fact, just to extract a bit of reference from Home Affairs this year, and also the family court, they released a report indicating that of all the divorce cases that the family court and the Home Affairs declare, 98% of them are related to money. Mm-hmm. Money is the underlying cause of, you know, a lot of marriage collapse, and so it's really a serious thing.
As you're saying this, what comes into my mind is something that I saw during the week, and I think most of the family members on social media platforms have seen this. Mm. And it disturbed me, Murit. It disturbed me. Because here's a young man. Mm. He wants to get married.
Yeah.
And the family of the bride-to-be, they said, no, we're going to give you 2 years to pay lobola.
Oh, how much lobola
was
that?
Well, they didn't.
It must have been quite a lot if it requires 2 years of savings.
Well, they didn't say how much.
Yeah.
He didn't disclose. And this is the young man who's writing
Okay.
the Facebook story himself. And he says, he wanted to apologize to the body of Christ. He wanted to apologize to the church, the particular church he goes to apologize to the lady he wanted to marry, to apologize to everyone. And that saddened my heart so much because he says, at some point, so his family went and bakokota, you know, kokota, musina, black culture. And as bakokota, the family of the bride said, all right, you have paid this much, but now what's left is this. So we're going to give you another time to finish the whole
thing. And that's like 2 years.
And then the guy says, I tried to do my best to collect all that money that was needed. But at the end, I couldn't.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I went back to her and said, it looks like I'm failing.
Yeah.
And a meeting was convened again where the two families met.
Yeah.
And it was agreed that no marriage will happen.
Until and unless.
No. The sad part is everything ended. They called it quits.
Okay. So did they disqualify him on the basis that he could not afford to make up that money?
What puzzles me. What puzzles me is that the two families agree. I mean, I would expect the family from the groom side to say, "Marangwana rena uzamile bathong." At least the eyona reveal.
Or get so angry that they demand a refund for the introductory price they paid.
No anger is mentioned there. Makoti, let go of the man that. Like, go just like that.
Wow.
I mean, I know girls who would be like,
I would rather forsake my family and go with this.
Mm. Yeah. So the lady is like, no. So now everything has ended, the relationship.
Wow.
And for me, it was sad to see. And that is finance. That is money.
Yeah.
So money broke that relationship. But now the question I had was, I don't know, because the lady is not coming out to say, it's me, guys, and these are the reasons.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at it from what he wrote.
Exactly.
And apologizing.
Yeah.
And everybody was saddened by this. I'm also saddened by this to say, Kanti bomalume, makoti. But now, as we're talking finances like this with you, Muruti, I realize how serious
it is.
Finances are. If it can break,
it can be a deal breaker, yes. Just like in that case, yes. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But that's disturbing. So, Muruti, with the book, Life After Death, is it a personal something that you went through yourself, or it's because others are going through it and this is the Lord opening it up to you?
Well, financial crisis, it's a common crisis. I've been through financial crisis myself, and if you get the book and read it, you will see references where I make to personal experiences that I had to go through. At some point, I had debts in excess of over $500,000. That I needed to. And, you know, that comes with a lot of depression. It takes away privileges. There's things you cannot be able to do anymore when you are implicated in such amount of debts. And looking at personal debts, credit card debts, student debts, I had all of that. And it amounted in excess of over $500,000. And I made a personal commitment and a very intentional decision that I'm going to beat this debt. I'm going to write it off. I'm going to pay it off. And the book comes after a journey of actually paying off such amount of debts. And I am sharing strategies that have worked for me.
Right.
I'm sharing things that are very simple, but not very common for so many people. And I've used a language that can be understood by
everyone. Yes.
And in fact, what I'm dealing with here, it's personal finance. So I am helping people to be able to deal with personal financial management and manage their income, not only to get out of debts, but ultimately, you know, to start a journey of creating wealth. And what they will find in the book is that, contrary to popular belief, wealth, it's not for the lucky few. You know, everybody can be rich,
wealthy,
and everybody can come out of debt, regardless of how much debt you have right now. Maybe I mentioned $500,000, and maybe for somebody that is quite small, there might be people who are implicated in a lot. But I can tell you, based on personal experience and some of the people that I've helped in financial fitness coaching, that applying these principles really works. And you need to know this principle, these basic steps, three of them that we'll probably discuss. But once you you apply these three basic principles of financial freedom or coming out of debt, there is a 100% guarantee that you will be debt free.
So did you find yourself now mentioning scripture as well, reminding God? You said you give me the power to get wealth, Lord.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, one of the motivations for writing this book is that, you know, I'm a pastor myself, and I've been a child of God and a Christian for, well, a couple of decades. But what I have seen is most of us, you know, in our church backgrounds and where we come from, the most we have heard about finances is only when it relates to tithe.
Of course. Yes, and but, giving.
And giving and so forth. We have not been so much taught about the management of money. So when it comes to our relationship with money, there's basically three steps. There's what I call the three M's. So the first M is making money. The second M is managing money. The third M is multiplying money. So a lot of us are on the making of money, but we are very bad when it comes to managing of money.
But now, Moruti, you mentioned churches.
Yeah.
That we hear about money and debt when we are talking tithes and offerings.
Yeah. And but that's also, not bad, by the way. It's just not enough.
But also, when you're talking money management, because you said three M's.
Yeah.
Money management.
That's right.
When we come to the management part, how do we become disciplined as Christians, as the body of Christ, when in the church itself, I'm going to now pick on another church, and I'm sorry, church, if you are the church that I'm talking about.
Okay.
You find we are building. Ribuaka building material.
Building funds.
We are building funds.
Yeah.
And then there's partnership funds.
Yeah. I'm sure my church members are saying amen right now because we just finished building.
And then there's an event maybe three times in a month.
Yes.
Then there's pastor's appreciation.
Yes.
Then, so already in the church.
Yeah.
I don't know if we lack management because of all these activities that are there.
That are happening.
Yeah. So how do we, because we take what we do from church, we do it in our homes as
exactly.
well. Or we take what is at home, we do it in the church.
Interesting enough that you mentioned that, because before I started writing this book, there was a time where I spoke to our church administrator and we looked at the number of employees we had in the church versus the number of tithers. Then I found out that less than 10% of employees in my church were tithing. And, you know, that's concerning when you have got only 10 or less than 10% of people who are supposed to be tithing, not tithing. So when I thought about that, I knew it was a money management problem. I knew that we did not have problem with making money because they were earning incomes, but we had a problem of management of money. So every time people are not tithing, it's a pure reflection of financial struggles. And from that time, I started teaching no longer about tithe. I actually started focusing on the management and the multiplication of money. I started teaching people things like, you know, your financial status is 80% of your spending habits and only 20% of your income. So it doesn't matter how much you make. You know, there are people, you know, shows on TV where, you know, people get fortunes of money, $6 million. And they blew it. They blow it within what, a month or so?
A couple of months.
So money, financial success, it's not the measure of how much you make or how much you earn.
It's in the management.
It's in the management space. So I started focusing more in my church, teaching people basic principles of budgeting and teaching people how to manage money. And guess what? Without talking about tithe, I then consequently started seeing, you know, the rate of tithing going up.
Moruti, we even don't like it when blessing time.
Exactly. It's offering time.
And also when somebody goes up, most of the times when people go up to talk about money, they make you feel guilty.
That's right.
That you're robbing God.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're not comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Some even talk out of anger.
Exactly.
You're not diving in the church.
And honestly speaking, Sbongile, I don't think a born-again child of God or a Christian would deliberately not want to tithe. I honestly don't think that. All of us, it's just like being a parent. You can't be coerced into providing for your children.
Mm.
It's something that you know it's your parental responsibility. Mm. The same way Christians also carry that sense of financial responsibility over the church and
being
for the well-being.
Financiers.
You know, it comes automatically. But once you don't see that happening, your focus should be on helping them to manage. And that's why the book is here. To help people in the management and the multiplication space.
All right. Muruti, so you were talking about the three M's.
Yeah.
Now, we were still looking at the management. How do we do that? Coming out from the book itself. Which chapter is it?
Okay. You know, this chapter that I get thrilled about is...
Yes.
Well, I wrote about 22 chapters in the book.
Uh-huh.
I think we should make one listener win. A copy for this book, Sbongile.
All right.
If they get all the answers correct. But in chapter 8, how to get out of debts or how to come out of debts, that's on a lot of people's mind. A lot of people wonder, okay, what do I do to get out of debts? I think I've done everything I should, but I'm still battling with debts. There's basically three steps that people should do to get out of debts. One is delayed gratification. So delayed gratification means that you put yourself on hold. There are things you shouldn't do anymore.
Mm.
I say you should put yourself under administration.
Mm.
So you understand that I'm having debts. So because I'm having debts, I'm not going to be buying new pairs of shoes. I'm going to be using that money to pay off my debts. I'm not going to be going out with friends drinking every Friday because I have debts. There's certain privileges that you have to deny yourself when you start a debt rehabilitation process. So if you are that person that goes out, I remember when I started my own journey, I used to eat out a lot, almost every day in restaurants and all that.
What?
Yes. I just had the habit of eating out in restaurants. I mean, who doesn't want to?
Mm.
And in South Africa, again, we are number three of the most drinking countries in the world. And alcohol is expensive.
Mm.
If you look at how much people spend on alcohol, even if it's ciders, they spend a lot of money. Mm. So there's certain spending habits that you have to cut out. It's called delayed gratification.
Okay.
If there's things in your life right now that if you can look at where you spend your money, you can cut off that and direct that expenditure to paying off your expenses.
What about somebody who says, Muruti, I am eating from hand to mouth?
Yes.
Basically.
We all say that, Sbongile, believe me, until you sit down and look at your bank statements and write down where you spend your money.
So cut out those chocolates, the ice cream.
Believe me, there is, you can debate it, but I can tell you confidently that there is always something you can cut
off.
So
no matter how little that rent is.
Okay, let me give you an example that I gave in the book. There are people I advise to cut off their Wi-Fi, for example.
Okay.
So someone has been paying, for example, 1,400 for a gym membership. I said, no, cut it off and go off to a gym that you pay 200 rents. Or cut off the gym completely and start jogging in your backyard. And then there's people I would tell, okay, cut off on your Wi-Fi and only have Wi-Fi access at night. And then save about 600 of day usage of Wi-Fi and direct that to paying off your expenses.
Sure, as you're saying this, I'm thinking of somebody who is spending, I think in a month, they would spend more than 500 on airtime
because they have
to buy data as
Exactly. Yeah. And you talk to women, there's women that are just, they have addiction with buying shoes every single month and so forth. The amount of hair that women buy, and there is definitely something. Yours is very cute. I hope people were seeing that. But there is definitely something people can cut off. And sometimes you have to make uncomfortable decisions. Maybe where you're taking your kids to, the school that you're taking your kids to is very expensive.
Yes.
You might have to take them out there because you can't afford. You know, swallow the pride and acknowledge that you have a debt problem. And start, you know, stop trying to impress people. Put yourself under administration. Your biggest motivation should be, you know, the vision of yourself finally being debt free. You know, what you could do. I mean, look at, I always say to people, look at how much debt you pay every month. Look at all these debts and bills you are paying every month. Imagine if all of that was going into your savings account. A lot of people would be rich if your debts now, what you pay every month, was what you were paying to yourself in a form of savings. Most people will be millionaires.
So pay yourself first.
Pay yourself first.
Okay.
I actually don't say pay yourself first because there's a dilemma there.
Okay.
Some people, Sbongile, jump the step of debt cancellation and they start saving while they have debts. It doesn't work.
You have to go back.
That's why people always liquidate their savings. They always go into their savings account and take up, because you can't take the money that you are supposed to pay your car or your rent and save that money.
Mm-mm.
When the bank comes after you, you're going to deplete that account. Mm-mm. So the first step towards wealth creation, there's actually three. The first step of wealth creation is financial freedom, which means being debt free. The second one is what we call capital preservation. That's where you save. You cannot save until and unless you are debt free. So you have to be debt free first. And then capital preservation or savings come second. And then you use your savings for your investment. And once you are in the investment class in your financial, in your relationship with money, you are now on the wealth creation stage.
So it will, it might take longer.
Well, you, one of the things people, there's a chapter where I talk about wealth killers. One of the wealth killers is to believe that you can become rich overnight. Anything that promises you wealth, get rich quick schemes. I talk about how a lot of investment schemes are actually investment scams. So any investment scheme that says you can put in 10,000 and you can withdraw 100,000 in a space of a week, it's a scam. So true wealth takes time to build. Takes time to build. You have the you need to have the patience to create wealth,
the
because
discipline.
It's, you have to have the money discipline and the money sense to create wealth and to get out of debt. Anything that says it's going to happen next week, it's a scam. It's not going to happen.
All right, let's take a break, Murutiyo. But just to pick on pastors, Muruti Umurut, hi, can we also get a break from the churches with the programs? We want to tithe.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
You're on the Intimate Moments with Sbongile Mofokeng. I said it to my family earlier on. I said I'm not alone, but I'm with Pastor Lakili Bepe. We're talking about and on the book that he has written, Life After Death. But I think Muruti is also, because as we are talking, we are learning from also his journey. But I think you can also find it outlined here and get some lessons right there. It's such cutting my Wi-Fi. Oh, Lord, help me. But now, Muruti, some of us, we have started to get income streams, different income streams.
Yeah.
But still, our pockets have got holes.
Yeah.
And you find a person has got three income streams or four income streams. Maybe that one brings 1,000, that one brings 10,000, that one brings, but the pockets are still
dry.
Dry because of the holes. How does that come about? Is it because of that gratification you were talking about? Instant gratification, immediate gratification that we desire to have?
There's a chapter in the book where I talk about what to do when your expenses exceed your income. And I think that's what you're referring to. A person feels like, I am having all these passive incomes and streams of incomes, but my expenses still get a big, better part of me. So what do you do when your expenses exceed your income? It's in chapter 5, I believe, of my book. I said it this way, Sbongile. When you are in that dilemma, where regardless of your passive income, you don't see the financial freedom you need, you must do three things. One, you must go up. Two, you must go down. Three, you must do both. That means go up and go down at the same time. So what do I mean by going down? Going down means you must live below your means.
Okay.
Two, it also means that you must cut down on expenses.
Hmm.
The quickest way to increase your income is to decrease your expenses. A lot of people think I will increase my money if I get a new job that pays me better than what I'm getting right now. That's not true. What happens is when people get a new job, they also increase their lifestyle expenses and they end up as frustrated as they were in their previous job. So what you need to do is you need to go down, cut down on expenses. It might even mean that you need to leave your private residence where you're staying right now. Maybe you are just paying too much.
Yeah.
There are people who are earning 40,000 rand. When you hear of that, you might say, wow, that's a lot of money. But what if they are driving a Range Rover where their installments is 15,000? And what if they stay in at the Blights, for example, where they pay another 15,000? Already you see close to 80% of their income is already gone on car and a place where they stay. And what if they take their kids to schools where they pay over 5,000 a month? So I'm going to say it over and over again. Your financial status, it's always the function of your spending habits and not how much you make.
All right. I'm reminded of one of the famous celebrities. He's also a counselor, well-known in the whole world. I remember him talking about scaling down.
Yes.
And he ended up riding a bicycle to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they rented a bachelor flat with his wife. He said, no, it was just me and my wife, but I wanted to achieve this in life.
But you know, Sbongile, you can't do that if you don't have a vision.
Yeah.
If you are not able to see beyond that action, because you're going to start thinking people are going to laugh at me. People are going, my family is going to think I've dropped down. I've fallen down, the way we like saying people have fallen. But if you marry your mind with the aftermath, that's why my book is called Life After Death. If you start thinking about the quality of life that you are going to afford after the debts have been paid, you will be willing to go through that.
How do you then draw a line between being a miser and what you just said right now?
Okay. There's a difference between
because
needs.
Now
yes.
You find...
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, now you're buying that meat. That
I hear what you're saying, and you are helping me to be in good pages with the ladies, because some ladies listening out there said, this pastor is about to cause our boyfriends to go, oh, wow. But anyway, let me put it this way. There's a difference between needs and wants. For example, a car is a need. You need a car. Without that car, how do you move? But a Lamborghini is a want. You don't need a Lamborghini. You see? So, and the other example I can give is clothes are a need, because without them you are naked.
Let's not mention their brands.
Yes. Without wearing clothes, you will be naked. But expensive brands are not a need. They are a want.
So
when you are in debt, spend your money on wants and not on needs.
So you can get good quality.
You can get good quality. Yes.
Even with the car, you can get a good car.
Yes, you can get a good car. So that's what we're saying. Even with restaurants, you can go to a cheaper restaurant. Even with grocery stores. You may choose to not buy at an expensive grocery store and go to a cheaper one. There's really something you can do in the process of that.
Muruti was looking at the ladies like maybe they are men. They are men. No, let me tell you, there are other women as well. You as a man would complain. Nama, where is this from? We are scaling down, baby.
You better warn us before you do that.
And you're like,
you better tell us that, you know what, for the next 3 months we are in financial administration. We are in debt review. So then
you know,
I can understand where the taste of that meat comes from.
You know, those beans that don't get cooked. You put them in the pot for hours and hours. How did you add your boots?
As long as you told me that, you know what,
You're
going to have to strengthen your teeth for the next 3 months, because this family is under financial review. We are striving for financial freedom.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would cope.
Muruti, so you told us about chapter 8 and touched a little bit about chapter 5. What else? Which chapters do we have also inside? When I buy this, what am I going to get in the
Wonderful. What I love is, one of the things you will take out from this book is, one, it will change your psychology about money. you know, and certain beliefs and perceptions that people have about wealth, for example, such as believing that wealth is for the lucky few, it's for the fortunate ones, and not everybody is meant to be. And even religiously, you know, it challenges some of the religious teachings that God wants you to be poor because he wants to humble you or teach you a lesson and all of that. You're going to have a renewed understanding of finances in that. But it also has practical steps like helping you to budget, where it provides differences between zero-based budget to deficit budget, and help people who are in deficit budgeting, where when you draw your budget, your money runs out before you get to the last item. It will help you to get out of deficit budgeting and come back to zero-based budgeting and ultimately surplus budgeting, which means I have paid off all my debts, all my monthly expenses, all my consumer debts, and I still have enough surplus to save and invest. So very powerful. But the most one that I like is three steps of wealth creation, because there's a wealth formula. I call it the wealth blueprint. If people can know that, they'll be rich. All of us need to know these three steps, because these three steps are the steps that rich people use. To everyone who practices these three steps gets rich, and every rich person has practiced these three steps of creating wealth. The first one is financial freedom, being debt free. The second was is capital preservation, have put money in a savings account, and then the thirdly, it's investment. So saving and investing is not the same thing. And you are going to find details, and it will even give you different investment vehicles and classes and how help you to create an investment portfolio. I can really say to get more, you need to get this. You need to get this.
Muruti wa ropa, man.
Yes.
So to get more, come buy the book.
I think we should make someone win this book.
And it's available. Definitely.
Yeah,
I think a family member who would like to win a book by Pastor Lebebe can just tell us which chapters, at least two chapters that he has mentioned. If you can tell us which chapters are those, then you can get yourself a book. And what you can do is you can write the word, let's see, you can write moments and the chapter. Moments and the chapter, and you can also include your name. Send that to our SMS line 37871 37871, and you can also do that on our WhatsApp 0826572729 0826572729. So you write moments. And you write the chapter that you heard, the two chapters. I said two, so I'm going to be you have to mention two, at least two.
Yeah.
And your name, and send that to 0826572729, 0826572729. Alternatively, send us your SMS 37871. Do remember that you'll be charged 250 for that. Ah, Muruti, I think, but you need to come back and talk some
definitely,
more.
Definitely. I'm definitely coming back.
Yeah. Some people don't believe that you can live a debt-free life.
It's possible.
No, they don't believe that it's possible for one to live a debt-free life. I remember at some point when I started working, I said, the first car I'm going to buy, I'm going to buy it cash.
Wow.
And somebody said, yeah, and somebody said,
impossible.
I'm sure that's what they said. They said, in your dreams.
That's worse than impossible. Okay. Yeah.
Like, in your dreams. And I must say that the first car that I drove, yes, it wasn't 100% cash.
Yeah.
But from the owner, I bought it cash.
Wow.
And then
amazing.
I was left with a couple of months to just wrap up the payments.
Yeah.
The second one is the one that's an issue.
You have learned your lesson. But I want to say this, though, that I actually think I even said it in the book, that a lot of us are very comfortable or used with making fixed deductions for car installments. People can comfortably pay a car in 72 months and pay between 5 and 15,000 every month. So fine. But for example, if I ask our listeners, how many of you pay between 5,000 and 15,000 on a car? Everyone's hands will be up. And if I ask the same question and say, how many of you save between 5,000 and 15,000, the same amount that people spend on cars, hands will drop. Not a lot of people do that. So that's a consumer mindset. We are more wired up to spending or paying debtors than actually paying ourselves through savings. So the wealth mindset comes from that. It comes from understanding that if I can pay off, you know, a car in 72 months, I can actually have a 72-month savings plan where I'm paying a fixed amount or a fixed rate of saving the way I would when I bought a car. Because, you know, some people pay off a car's bongile and they trade it in just after their last month of paying off a car. Even if it's still running well and it's still comfortable, they just need, they feel the need to go and finance another car. And sometimes it's unnecessary. When you have paid off the car, and, you know, a lot of ladies don't drive as much as we do, guys, and it still has a good mileage and it's still running very well. Why don't you say, okay, I'm already used for the past 72 months. I've been paying 5,000 on this car. From now onwards, I'm going to direct that 5,000 into my investment or savings account. That's wealth creation there. You can't live all your life paying off debts. And some people, the other good thing would be to save money. The same way you said you bought your car cash, I'm sure you had to save up for some time while taking a taxi. Exactly. But that was a wise decision, because if you can save money in 2 years and then buy off your car, you are then better than someone who is paying their car in 6 years, where they spend 10,000 every month on that car, excluding petrol, maintenance, and all of that.
With the second one, I'm
Yes, but imagine, Sbongile, if what you are spending on your second one, you say it with a frown. Imagine if that money was the money you were saving every month. For the next 6 years. You know, your future is guaranteed. The future of your kids would be guaranteed. And that's the wealth mindset. We need to get out of the consumer mindset and start having a mindset of paying ourselves. For the first time, let's start paying ourselves.
And I think heaven will be proud of us.
Definitely.
There's also that part of paying the interest. With a little, that 100 rand, that 200 rand that you could have bought shoes or bought something, you could put it in there. And cut down.
On
the interest. But it's, we never talk about such things.
Exactly. It's very important to have money chats. Surround yourself with friends that have money conversations all the time. If you are married, you and your wife have actually a great opportunity of becoming financial partners. Instead of fighting about money, you could actually be advising each other about money and making better financial decisions. So you spoke about paying a little bit more, you know, to fast track your interest rate and so forth. And in my book, I'm referring to that as payment restructuring. Some payments can be restructured to give yourself a relief. For example, it's better to restructure your finance deal with the bank than to keep having deductions that fall off every month. So clearly, if you know, deductions are not going through on your account, it's a clear sign that you are not affording. Why don't you take a proactive step before the bank puts you in ITC or put you under a debt review? Why don't you take a step and go speak to your financial institution and say, listen, if I can get 500 cut off from what I've arranged, I will cope, you know. Do that. And yes, it will extend your payment period, but it will also put your name in good credit record as well, where you don't default every month and so forth. So payment restructuring is actually is step number three of how to get out of debts. The other one is what we call adjustments and cancellation, where you cancel certain things and no longer pay them. For example, if you had a cell phone contract, you just pay it off and no longer take... where I am right now, I don't have a cell phone contract and I'll never do. I don't have a credit card and I'll never
We learned the hard way.
I've learned the hard way. And that's the value of the journey of paying debts. Mm. It has to be painful. A lot of people ask me, why is it that when we ask God to cancel our debts, we don't wake up and he frustrates those debts from the dashboard and make them disappear on the computer? He doesn't want to do that. He wants you to feel the pain of paying. Because if God was to miraculously and easily sort off your debts, you'll go back there again. But if you know the pain of eating the beans you were talking about, the ones that are you can hardly chew, if you know that pain and you never want to go back there,
you never want to go
back to a place where you don't want to meet certain people on the road because you know you owe them. Once you have the financial freedom, you will hate debts, because debts are a weapon of wealth destruction. That debts destroys our wealth.
Wow, Maruti, thank you so much for this education today. So exciting. And I hope family is also excited about it. And family, do remember that you can win yourself a copy of Maruti Lakilibebe's book, Life After Debt, A Guide to Wealth Creation and Debt-Free Life. Just send which chapters did he mention? Not how many, but which chapters did he mention? Yeah, those that you remember. Give me two of those, and also send that to our SMS line or our WhatsApp line, starting with the word moments, and send the two chapters with your name. And we will see. Next week, we will be announcing who is getting the book. And I'm going to make sure that Maruti comes back to teach us some more. Maruti, your closing statements?
My closing statement to all the listeners out there: it is possible. We can all get rich. You can be financially free and you can create wealth. In fact, look at yourself in the mirror. You look like that millionaire that you want to be, and it is possible. Get yourself a copy of Life After Debt.
And for more information, are we able to reach you, Maruti?
Yes. People can actually reach us via a WhatsApp line, if you may, at 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581.
I'm going to ask Maruti to be a little slower.
Okay, all right. There it is, our WhatsApp line.
071.
Yes, 071 352 4581.
4581.
Yes.
Maruti, thank you so much. May God awesomely bless you. I'm hoping for another talk where we will expatiate, go chapter by chapter and learn from this awesome book. And we thank God for this. It's time we come out of debt as his children and become kingdom financiers, as he has called us to be, to also enjoy that which our Father is giving unto us. Hey, rebellity palpitations. When the money comes,
when the month ends,
anxiety attacks. So yes, family, if you'd like to be in contact with Maruti, 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581. That's how you can get hold of Maruti Lebebe. And do remember, win yourself a copy. Moments, the two chapters, your name, to 37871 or 082-657-2729.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM, radio for believers in action.